Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go down toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 22. We will pray responsively. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow down before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship, and all who will go down to dust, though they may be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen."
The second reading is from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that God, that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has sent for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, John certainly didn't beat around the bush when he was writing this letter that we just heard. Listen again. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Usually when a command is given, it's given in response because something isn't being done. So then the law is put out there that John must have known some people who weren't being so loving, people who needed to be reminded that just saying love isn't enough. John says that we need to abide in love, abide in God. His community that he was writing this letter to must have been having some trouble with that concept, because this letter is certainly an encouragement, an urging for people to love one another. And then we have this great story of Philip. Probably not the same Philip as the apostle. This is the Philip that is listed with the first seven deacons, the ones who were appointed to do the charity work and to show their love for God by their action for the poor and the needy. Philip was doing great work, preaching, baptizing, performing miracles. He was doing his abiding in God, to use John's word. But that doesn't mean to settle in. That to abide doesn't mean to sit down. It means to be so united to Jesus and his word that it works through us. Philip was abiding in Jesus, abiding in the word, and was very active about that. And then God sends an angel. Get up. Go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. I love that quick response. Immediately, I'm not sure I'd be quite so obedient. I probably would have a few questions for that angel. You mean right now? Why? What am I supposed to do on that road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza? What am I supposed to do when I get there? What is this all about? But there's one question that I wouldn't need to ask, and I don't suppose that you would need to ask that question either. What's a wilderness road? We know about wilderness roads. Some of us are walking a wilderness road right now. We find ourselves in a new place or feel insecure or unsure of the direction that we should go. We wonder what's next for us. We know the wilderness road of illness or cancer or the death of a spouse. We know a wilderness road of being unemployed or going through bankruptcy or getting divorced. We know a wilderness road of depression or anxiety, of fear or worry. We know what wilderness road is all about. Well, Philip finds himself on a wilderness road, and he meets there another traveler. This other traveler is really an outsider. We don't learn his name, but we know a lot about him. He's an Ethiopian, a person of color, a foreigner. He's of uncertain sexuality. We could say he has a complicated gender identification. He's a eunuch, but he has a great job. He works for the queen in the treasury house. We know he was educated because he's reading, and we know he's a seeker. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, even though because of his gender question, he would not have been allowed inside the temple. But he had gone anyway to worship, to seek, to find out about his relationship to God. This is the man whom Philip meets. And Philip hears him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he enters into conversation with him. This unnamed Ethiopian is reading a passage from the prophet Isaiah about the sheep being led to the shearer, about humiliation, about persecution. When Philip begins to explain this passage, I'm sure that this man felt a great connection. He knew from his own experience about wilderness roads, about isolation. He knew about humiliation, about being literally cut off. Even though his life looked easy on the outside, he knew his life on the inside was less than easy, less than successful. Jesus knows all about our wilderness roads, too. No matter how easy and successful we might try to portray our lives, Jesus knows from the inside all about us. He invites us to stay connected to him, to abide in him, to see ourselves as a branch on that vine that is Jesus himself. I'll come back to Philip and the Ethiopian, but I want us to think about that vine that that Jesus invites us to be attached to. I have two vines growing on my patio, one in each corner of the patio. I have a flowering jasmine vine that really needs some pruning, and I have a pink bower vine that is just going great guns. Both of these vines are just a mess of tangled branches, just woven in around the trellis and around each other, the vines. Picture this vine, all wrapped and tangled together. It's a great metaphor for our life in Christ. Jesus, the true vine, we are the branches. What does it mean to live as branches connected to Christ, the vine? This image of a vine and the branches speaks so clearly of interrelationship, of mutuality. In a vine, the branches are almost completely indistinguishable from one another. It's impossible to determine where this branch is connected to the vine. It's wrapped and twisted and turned and connected to so many other of the branches. They're all tangled together as they grow out of that central vine. This image suggests that abiding in Christ is not about individuality. It's not about me and Jesus. It's about being connected to one another. It's about us and Jesus. The branches on the vine encircle one another completely, hold one another up, strengthen and support one another. This is a very challenging image for us in our contemporary Western model of individuality and privatism. This image of Jesus that Jesus gives us is an image about interrelationship, connectivity. The vine and the branches metaphor urges us to be steadfast in our relationship with Jesus, a steadfastness that is measured by the fruits that are produced. To live as branches on the vine is to belong to a community that is shaped by the love of Jesus. The individual branch is subsumed into the common work of bearing fruit, of living in love, of being a disciple of Jesus. If we really took this seriously, the church would be a community where people were known for their acts of love that they do in common with all the other members. It would not be a collection of individuals, each doing their own thing, but a community of disciples abiding in love, producing the fruits, being nourished and strengthened by being together, connected to the vine. Once upon a time, there was a man who decided, he dropped out of church. He figured he could worship God just as well on his own, and so he stopped going to church. Several weeks went by, and the pastor made a visit. The two men sat in the living room by the fireplace, and they made small talk. And then the pastor picked up the tongs and took one of the burning embers and moved it over to the side of the fireplace. They sat in silence. Pretty soon that ember got cold, and the pastor reached in and picked it up with his fingers and tossed it back onto the fire. And as soon as it got back into the fire, it caught flame again and started burning again. The pastor didn't say a word, got up, put his coat on, got ready to leave, and the man walked him to the door and said, "That was the best sermon you ever preached. I'll be in church on Sunday." Jesus said, "I am the vine, You are the branches. Abide in me and bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Said I'd get back to Philip and the Ethiopian. This Ethiopian who had been excluded on many counts knows that he wants to be included. He knows that he wants to be connected. And even there on the wilderness road, he wants to do whatever it takes to become a part of that community of the disciples. He wants to do what it takes to belong to that vine, to be in a relationship with Jesus and in the community of the disciples. Look, he says, there is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Along our wilderness roads, I think we can ask that same question. What's preventing me from living out my baptism? What is keeping me from the community and from the support and encouragement that can be found here? What's keeping me from loving my brothers and sisters? What's keeping me from abiding on that true vine? And the good news is the answer to that question, what's keeping me from that, is nothing. Jesus has removed all the barriers that would keep us from him, removed all the barriers that would keep us from loving one another, keep us from living out our faith. Jesus himself walks with us on our wilderness road, whatever that might be. He's always inviting us to give up our outsider status and become insiders, to allow us to know ourselves as members of a community, as branches on the vine, that we are connected to him and connected to one another. He's inviting us to abide in him and glorify God by bearing much fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen.